You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. I'm Leanne Dolan. I'm a writer and producer. I live in Pasadena, California with my two college-age sons, my husband, and my dog.
I'm Liz Dolan. I'm a corporate executive. Some of the time, not currently, but who knows. I'm a podcaster also some of the time. And I live in Santa Monica, California with my dog, Hooper.
I'm Julie Dolan. I live in Dallas, Texas, but I've moved 14 times in my married life. Some of those were overseas. I'm an empty nester. I'm an urban nana and a podcaster.
Fantastic. Well, sisters, happy to be here today. We have a fun show lined up for the week.
We do, yes.
I feel this is a
good... Despite what you may think, there are fun things going on in the world.
That's right.
Yes. Well, it's summertime. We should have fun. That's
yes,
what I think.
Yes, we should. What did we used to call it? We used to have a name for summer.
Our summer fun time.
We had a
hashtag.
Yep.
Related to this.
It'll come to us. That's how long we've been doing this show.
Summer of love.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, we did a summer of love.
We did
That's
do
true.
A summer of love.
Yeah,
yeah,
wow.
We did that. We did.
It's all in the archive. If you go to satellitesisters.com, go to listen to the shows. You can listen to a lot of shows. We've got a million of them.
Well, here's what we have on tap today. Julie, you have a follow-up to last week, a pregnancy block. You have a whole block about pregnancy.
Well, I'm calling it a pod, Leanne, because I thought that sounded more maternal. But yes, I'm doing a pregnancy pod. Just big news all around the world about pregnancies, births, and maternity leaves.
Okay.
And generally good news this week. Last week, it was bad news.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. We're going to emphasize the positive on this show. Yes.
All right. I have a magazine roundup. We always love that.
Yeah.
One woman keeping the magazine business alive. So I have stories for you from Health Magazine, Coastal Living,
ooh. And
the hard-hitting journalism
so good,
from
I'm
Coastal
in Dallas,
Living.
Texas, Leanne. I'm not near any coast. Yeah.
That's why you need to read it, Julie.
That's right. And O Magazine. Okay, Liz Dolan, Private Eye. This is exciting.
This
we have
is
a
exciting.
Mystery to reveal.
We have a mystery in the making. It's not like I have the beginning, middle, and end of the mystery. I have the beginning and the middle. Who knows how this will end? I have no idea.
Liz, you went to that birthday party this weekend too, and people want to know, what was the entertainment?
I'm going to spill all.
All right.
It was good. It was great.
And then, Julie, speaking of entertainment, you have an entertaining sisters report on a documentary you saw. Which one?
It's the Mr. Rogers movie, Leanne. I highly recommend it, and I'm going to tell you why.
Also, our to-do list this week. Julie sent in just a couple of words about her to-do list. I am intrigued.
Yes. Surprising.
I said, don't tell me. I just wait on the show. I want you to explain these several words you sent us about your to-do list. So that is all coming up on Satellite Sisters.
But, Leanne, first I want to say, like, all weekend I was highly entertained by your tweets. You were festivaling this weekend. You were like, you were the cool kid out there at a music festival.
Liz, I'm
in your Lands End SPF 50 dress, Leanne. That had me laughing all weekend.
I got to follow up on that, Jill. Got to follow up.
Just the thought of that.
Okay. So, yes, Liz, this weekend I went to a music festival called the Arroyo Seco Weekend. Now, it's put on by Golden Voice, which are the same people that stage Coachella.
Uh-huh.
So, and it started last year. It's literally in my backyard. So I don't get that much extra credit for going because I can walk to it. But I did buy the 2-day pass this year after using the 1-day pass last year. I decided I'm all in on the Arroyo Festival weekend.
Nice.
Now, it had been a long time since I'd been to a weekend festival. I mean,
you don't need to explain that to us. Julie, wouldn't we have assumed that?
Go into numbers, Leanne.
Yeah.
It would probably be best.
It's kind of demoralizing, actually, when you think about it. So I was proud of me, actually, because by like the first day, I have to admit, I wasn't sure I was fully in the festival spirit. But by day two, I was festivaling. I was ready to go. I was excited.
Okay.
I was committed to the idea of just seeing a lot of bands and letting it all happen and trying not to be too uptight about all the people talking at the music festival. So,
Okay.
So a couple of highlights from the weekend. I was drawn to this one. One, because we can walk to it. It's literally on the golf course in front of the Rose Bowl. Excellent. Two, some really good bands. Yeah. There was two categories. Bands I wanted to see and then bands I wanted to see one more time.
You mean like before they die?
Yes, Liz. Either one, Liz. Just those two categories. So in the bands I wanted to see, big draw for me was Jack White.
Oh,
I like Jack White. Jack White of the White Stripes and the Rock on Tours. And now just Jack White of Jack White. Okay, we had tried to buy tickets to his show, his standalone show in Santa Barbara earlier. Shut out. Couldn't get any tickets. So when I saw he was headlining, I was in for that day for sure. The next day, I wanted to see Kings of Leon. You know, that's a band
I
like.
I love them. Yeah, they're good.
They were brother. You know, the brothers front the band. They had some fallout after the first big album and all the Grammys. There was some rehab, but now they're back, Kings of Leon. So, you know, those are some artists I wanted to see. And then the artists I wanted to see one more time. Like, I'm not really a big nostalgia rock and roll person.
Right.
Like if Flock of Seagulls were playing at my neighbor's house, I wouldn't go because that would be depressing. You know? Or like, I'm not really into geezer rock. Like that's not my thing. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple of bands that I think are still making interesting music and have special meaning to me that I wanted to see. Like, are they still hanging on? How are they doing? So that was like the Violent Femmes.
Oh, you always loved the Violent Femmes.
I've always loved the Violent Femmes.
Wasn't that like one of your first ever concerts?
Yeah,
you saw the Violent Femmes in New Haven, Connecticut.
Thank you, Liz. Yeah, in the Grotto. Tiny, tiny bar. Yeah, in 1980.
In your ripped jeans you were wearing those.
And they're back, Jewel. Ripped jeans are back.
I know that.
That's the good news. So the Violent Femmes, the Pretenders. I have always loved the Pretenders.
Yeah.
I love Chrissie Hynde. I was hoping she was still hanging on. Los Lobos, which is a great LA band.
Fantastic.
I love them. And then Aaron Neville was playing.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Well,
you know, and Aaron, he's 78 years old now.
And he is?
Ooh. And his brother Charles just died, you know, very sad. Mm-hmm. Charles died like six weeks ago, very recently of cancer. So when I saw Aaron Neville was playing, I was like, you know what? I would love to see Aaron Neville live one more time. Mm-hmm. And Liz, it all paid off for me, I have to say. I mean, can I just say, first of all, we should all have Chrissie Hynde as our aging role model. Now, she is the lead singer of the Pretenders. She's a real rock and roller. Like,
real
she's a real guitarist,
yeah.
Can really write. Like, she was never just the cute girl that fronted the band. She was the band. Mm-hmm. That's set.
How old is she?
I looked it up. I said, you know, she must be in her mid-60s. She's 67. See,
okay,
I looked it up because some young whippersnappers next to me said, how old do you think she is? Like 50? I was like, okay, dudes. she looks great, but that's not what 50 looks like. And her first album came out in like 79. So no, she's not 50. But she now, you know, Chrissie did some hard living, you know.
Yeah.
She was with Ray Davies of the Kinks, and she was with Jim Kerr of Simple Minds, and then she married a sculptor, and, you know, but now she's a vegetarian, she's an animal rights activist, she's a practicing Buddhist, and she can rock and roll. She's 67. She was fantastic. I would say the Pretender set was the biggest surprise of all. Like, they were great.
Still, that is great to hear.
So if you were out, they're out and around all summer. If you're thinking, I'd like to see the Pretenders again, but I'm not so sure, go. Fantastic. Because she's got the original drummer, but then the whole rest of her band is just young guys who are killing it up there. And she's keeping up with them. She's great. And she was wearing a T-shirt, you know, because she's Chrissie Hynde, that said, don't pet me, I'm working. Which I love.
Attitude. She always had the attitude.
And then before she ripped into one of their big hits, she said, all right, this song is for your mother. And then she played Back on the Chain Gang. Which, I love that. She's the best. All right, shout out to Alanis Morissette.
Wow.
Okay, that is an artist. People love her. Like, that was exactly the demographic of this concert. Like, people who love Alanis Morissette. You know, some were slightly older, some were a little bit younger. But I thought, I was worried no one would come to see Alanis. I don't know why. I felt like, you know.
I felt sorry for her. I was concerned.
You couldn't even breathe. I mean, there were so many people. The love was so strong for Alanis. The warm feelings. She looked happy and great. You know, she just was running around on stage. She also had a statement T-shirt on that said her on the front and then man on the back. I was like, her man? Herman? her. I don't know what that meant. You guys can figure it out. I can say.
That's open to a lot of speculation and interpretation.
Is she
provocative? Alanis is always provocative.
She was fantastic. So again, if she's out on tour and you're wondering, will she still be vibrant? Yes, she's still vibrant and relative and great. She has a great band with her. So the whole thing was just really fun. I mean, and then Jack White, I just love him. I love him. So, I mean, if
For some of us who haven't been to festivals recently, are you like sitting in seats or are you wandering around? Have you pitched a tent at this festival?
Julie,
or is
these
it
are all
happening in the Rose Bowl, so you're in a seat?
These
right?
are all good questions. No, none of it actually happens in the Rose Bowl. So it happens on the golf course behind it. It's three open stages. There are standing only areas, and then there were blanket areas. What we did last year, we learned a quick lesson. When we went to see Weezer, we put our blanket down early. We had great seats. They readjusted some of the blanket chair policies, Jill, just so you know. But we went in early. I put my blanket down near the main stage, like off to the left. There was a VIP section on the other side. We're not VIPs. We're just general admissions people. That's my ethos. That's what I believe in. So we brought blankets. Of course, the first thing my son said was, oh, we didn't bring any chairs. I was like, I am not the only one running this show. If you wanted a chair, should have brought a chair. But we knew we wanted to see like the Pretenders, Jack White, and then Neil Young was playing. We wanted to see those three bands right in a row. But then you're free to wander. Then you go to the smaller stages and you can sit or you can stand. There are no actual seating sections. You have to bring a chair if you want. But it's festivaling, Julie. I know I had to relax. The first day I was very uptight. I did not understand why people would go stand very close to the stage and try to scream over the Pretenders. Like, if you want to carry on a conversation, go 100 yards away where there's a fish taco.
It's probably a beer garden there.
A fish taco. There was so much good food and beer, Liz. That's their whole thing. Like all these local craft beers and cocktails. And we had like lobster tacos. And the food is fantastic. And, you know, kids are free under 10. So there were families and kids and art installations and stuff. There were couches at various places. Go sit in the couch, as we did when we heard Irma Thomas from New Orleans. She sat on the couch and listened to Irma Thomas, and she was great.
Now, how old is she? She must be pretty old.
She's pretty old, too. She's pretty old. But, you know, it was just, once I let down, like the next day, I just relaxed a little bit, got on board with it, had my sunscreen, my free water, ate those Kind bars they kept handing out. It was fantastic. So, Julie, I have to say, to get back to your point, to the Land's End wear, okay? So I get my I get the Land's End dress I've ordered, which is like, you know, SPS 50. And I swear in the reviews, it said, no, you can wear this out to dinner. Well, I don't know where anyone's wearing this thing out to dinner, unless you're eating dinner on a boat, because I got it. I was like, this is like wearing a trash bag. I can't wear this. Okay. But then I think, you know what? I have that cute mod cloth dress. I have all
this.
So I upgraded
festival wear.
Festival wear, yes. Liz. That's it. I mean, I wasn't going to be wearing flowers in my hair and those hippie chip things.
Maybe women, next year.
Women, no, never, Liz. That's not me. I'm gonna cede that to the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds who can wear the fringe and the bikini tops and whatever. Uh-huh. I'm fine. My mod cloth dress. At one point, I literally did a check. I had my Me Undies on, my Third Love bra, my mod cloth dress.
Rothy's?
I didn't want to wear
Were you carrying anything in your Dagny Dover bag?
I had my Fit Fab Fun bag, the striped bag. I mean, literally, I had my
fully sponsored
Tula sunscreen on. I was fully sponsored. But here's the thing, Joel. So I'm standing at the Violent Femmes. The women next to me, they are me. They are women in their mid-50s who must have loved the Violent Femmes 35 years ago as I did. They know every single word to every single song, as I do. And they are in complete head-to-toe Land's End beach living wear. They have the skorts on, the sunscreen shirts, and all I could think of was, I made the right choice with the mod cloth.
But okay.
They were enjoying themselves so much. It was really fun. I have to say, I was surprised how much I enjoyed it once I gave myself over to it. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of things I'll never do. I'll never like Led Zeppelin. I don't care. So Robert Plant was playing.
Too late for you.
Just all too late. Just everything about it. And but, you know, people.
And how about Neil Young? You didn't mention Neil as a highlight, but. Yeah, he's a heavy hitter.
He's a little old too.
He's still doing the job.
He's Neil Young. So he's a fantastic musician, and he's reached the point where he can just do whatever Neil Young wants to do.
So he just doesn't
care. I said to Sheila when she texted me, "How is Neil Young?" I said, "I think Daryl Hannah is the symptom, not the cause." Because, you know, he left his nice wife of 25 years for Daryl.
Didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, Liz. A couple years ago. Yeah. So that whole Silver and Gold album from the 90s, the most beautiful album written about his beautiful. No, it's over now. He's with Daryl Hannah. Neil cares about Neil. So he opened with a, not kidding, no exaggeration, 20-minute guitar solo.
Oh.
So you know, if you're
too uptight for that.
I'm so uptight. I can't. Ain't nobody got time for that, Liz. Come on. Like, Brooks was with us, and Barrick's like, he was the last act on the first night. And it's like, just stay for one song. Well, joke's on Brooks, because it was a 20-minute song. He's like, can I leave now? So, you know, I'm sure if you were a diehard Neil Young fan, you would have thought, oh, that's Neil. He's the best. Mm-hmm. You know, wasn't my thing. So, again,
bring back Chrissy
Hynde and Jack White. That paid the rent. That was fantastic for me. But
good for you for going, Leanne, for getting into the festival mood and encouraging the rest of it's inspiring, Leanne.
I think. You know, it was more fun than I thought. But I did talk to a friend of mine. She said, "Oh, my husband went the first day, and then he remembered I hate music festivals and gave his ticket away the second day." So it is a different way to see, an act.
Yeah.
But it's a reminder that some of these musicians that have been around a long time, like if you've been around a long time, like Aaron Neville, it's because you're fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, you can't perform an hour long set, 50 years into your career, unless you're really that good. And they bring fantastic musicians with them. You know, they start with great material like the Violent Femmes, but then they had like a whole brass section and a rhythm section. And it's just, I love seeing great musicians work. And that's what it was like. There were no amateurs on stage. This was just like people who had really earned their right to be up there. They had an hour's worth of music and they put it all out there. I loved it. It was super
fun. We would see the Nevilles, Julie, when you were living in New Orleans. Nevilles were always playing around.
Certainly we'd go to the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival.
Yeah, they traditionally closed every Jazz Fest. They retired as a band in 2012, but So it was very sweet to hear Aaron talk about his brother. He was wearing the tie-dyed shirt that his brother always wears.
Aww.
So it really choked me up. Yeah. So that was Sunday night. I left Robert Plant. I was like, I'm going to see Aaron Nevin now. Goodbye. Good luck. Good luck, all you Led Zeppelin fans.
I like the personal relationship that you're able to establish with the artist's land. That's nice.
I feel close to some of them. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, you know, that's the thing about music. It triggers great memories and
it's your formative years.
It is, but sometimes you want to leave it as such. You know, you don't want to ruin that by again Flock of Seagulls. But these were great bands, so I was really happy to be there. It was fun. I'll definitely go back next year. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds
you
like
you're going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. A youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
All right. So good luck out there, Satellite Sisters. If you have music festivals in your town, do a little festivaling. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Who are you willing to turn out to
see?
And
what you're wearing. What you're wearing, what you're eating. Yeah. We'd like to know.
Yeah. We recommend the Mod Cloth, but do you.
You know, Mod Cloth is literally like the perfect, like the second day I wore my Mod Cloth shirt. Like it's literally the perfect festival wear shirt for women of all ages and all sizes.
Yeah.
You know, I think our code is sisters. Your Mod Cloth.
It's on the show notes.
Yeah. It's not a sponsor today, but they have the perfect festival wear.
So one last thing I wanted to mention, shifting gears a little bit before we go to a couple of today's sponsors, is Google. Thank you very much. Google has finally joined the Satellite Sisterhood. You know how? how they did this?
No.
Google finally this week introduced their own podcast app. Did you ever notice that like on iTunes, you have the podcast, on your iPhone, you have the podcast app. It's like always there, what they call a native app. Well, Google never really had one of those. So you would download Stitcher or Podbean or all of the other things. Well, last week, boom, it's like a surprise Jay-Z and Beyonce album that just dropped. That's what Google kind of did with the podcast app. So I encourage you, if you are Android out there, I encourage you to try it. Just go try the new Google Podcast app. We should be listed in there. So download it to your phone if it didn't automatically load, and then subscribe to our show. It's really helpful to us if you subscribe. It's obviously going to be a big platform, so we would appreciate it. But also, I want to know, like, what's it like? How is it working for you? We don't have any Androids in the family, right? We're so completely bought into the Apple ecosystem that I would like some firsthand commentary on how the new Google Podcast app is working for you. So give it a go and let us know.
Fantastic. Great.
Okay, now we're back, and Julie's working the pregnancy beat, right, Julie?
I know. Well, it's the maternity ward this week, and I've got some happy baby news. Can we start first with the wonderful news that Chip and Joanna Gaines, you know, we love them. They were the stars of the HGTV hit series, Fixer Upper. They just had their fifth baby, Leanne, a boy, okay?
Oh, a boy.
And they had a boy, and his name is Crew. C-R-E-W, Crew. Crew Gaines.
Huh. Okay, fine.
Okay, and so a couple of things. It's a departure because, as you probably know from watching the show, that their two other sons both have names that begin with D. So they didn't go with another D name for their third son. But
wow, that is big news.
That's well, huge. That's the kind of work I do for you here. There's some lovely pictures online of Joanna holding the baby. The baby, a Crew, came 2.5 weeks early, which is a lot. You know, that's a lot. Yeah. But this is her fifth child, and I guess everything moved along pretty quickly. But you got to be happy for them. I mean, they were at their peak in terms of success and popularity, and they decided to sort of dial it back and take a break from their show. I don't think it's going to be forever. I believe
they'll be back. Are you kidding?
Don't you think so?
I read something insane. Like, she sold her cookbook. Which, again, she's not a cook, so let's be clear. She puts big clocks on walls. I mean, I love her. She's charming. Man. But her cookbook sold something like 250,000 copies in the first week.
Really?
Yes. So I don't think we have to worry about her TV. Like, they're still moving on with their business.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still. And if you go
that's
to Waco,
a lot
Texas,
of cookbooks.
You can go to Magnolia, their big store there.
To Magnolia, right, Julie?
And you can go to Waco, Texas, and you can go to their store, Magnolia, when you're there. I mean, they've really sort of rebuilt a whole section of Waco, Texas. And it's much more pleasant now that it's been, they've done a little fixer-upper on that section of town in Waco. So you want to do that. But I'm happy for them.
Yes, I wish them all the best. Yeah, okay, no, they have a lot of business lines. I wouldn't worry about them. And welcome to Crew. And now they have a crew, too.
Now they have a crew. So they're good. Now, the other birth I'm really excited about, and I want everybody else to get really excited about, is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern is her name. She's 37 years old. Okay, so first of all, she's the youngest prime minister, you know, female prime minister ever, okay? And she's only the second elected leader to ever give birth while she's in office. She just had a baby. Now, she's not married, but she has a partner. His name is Clark, and he's adorable, too. And he is the host of a popular fishing show in New Zealand.
Wow.
And get this. The name of the show is called Fish of the Day. Okay. Now, isn't that cute? That's pretty cute. Okay. So Clark and Jacinda, they're adorable. And they've said it's not deliberate that they're not married. So they're not consciously uncoupling or decoupling. I do believe they want to couple. They just haven't, she said, we just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Sure. But they've been busy.
They're very busy because she is prime minister, and Clark is, you know, he's got the fish of the day. So he's busy, but they had a beautiful baby girl, and they gave her a name that's a little complicated. So let's pay attention here. Mm-hmm. The first name is Neve, which is very pretty. And Leon, this name Neve is actually inspired, according to Jacinda and her husband Clark, from the Gaelic name Niamh. Leon, which means bright and radiant. Oh. Now, your name is Leon, which allegedly was inspired by our parents from the Gaelic name Liam. But maybe our parents got that wrong. And maybe they were trying to name you Leon Niam, which means bright and radiant.
Which so would have been even more complicated.
Yeah, I think I should change my name to Neve, is the moral of this story. A name
yes,
I
so
like
Neve
very much.
Neve is her first name, and then she has a beautiful middle name, Te Aurore, which means love in Maori, which is nice. And then she has both her mother and her father's Ardern and Gayford as a last name. Oof. So she's got a lot of names.
A lot of names.
So, but what's so nice about them is they had some lovely footage of this couple coming out of the hospital. There she is, the Prime Minister, Jacinda. She's carrying Niamh. They're walking out, no wheelchair for her. And she is just beaming. She is so happy and so thankful. She is planning to take 6 weeks maternity leave, even though technically she qualifies for a 16-week maternity leave. And one of her big things as a politician has been to increase and extend the maternity leaves that are available in New Zealand. So I would suggest, as Urban Nana, I would suggest that she rethink only taking 6 weeks. I understand she's prime minister and all of that.
That's a lot
but
of
I
pressure.
Think that, you know, I think she would probably do better if she took more time off, in my humble opinion.
You should just tweet that at her. Yeah, I'm sure she'll appreciate it.
Okay, but I'm excited about this couple. And Clark, in between doing his popular fishing show, he's going to be the stay-at-home dad to take care of Niamh. Mm-hmm. So this is a couple we can really get behind. We can root for. She is such a great role model. There she is as prime minister holding her newborn baby and just all the way around. That's a happy tale. So I want to encourage people to check that out. Okay. And then my third story is about Serena Williams, who, you know, she is the greatest female tennis player of all time. Okay. And that she took a maternity leave when she had, well, it wasn't really an official maternity leave. She won the Australian Open, and then she decided when she was pregnant with her, yes, with her child, and then decided to take some time off. So she was the number one ranking in the world when she won the Australian Open. She gave birth to a baby. She came back this season to play the Grand Slams, and they rank her 183rd. Okay.
At the French Open, right?
I would say that is a pregnancy penalty. So which meant that when she went to the French Open, she was an unseeded player. And in tennis tournaments, the better players, they're usually given a bye in the first couple of rounds. But she had to play all the way through. She withdrew from the French Open due to an unrelated injury. That was just not right. You know that? So the U.S. Open is coming up later this summer. And the U.S. Open, for the first time ever, has announced that they are going to work out they're going to update their seeding policy to take into account a player who is returning from pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Do you think so? I mean, this is... Serena Williams has won 23 Grand Slam singles titles, okay? And they wanted her to play, you know, as an unseeded player. I mean, just because she had a baby and took some time off. I'm just surprised that it has taken women's tennis this long, because Serena Williams is not the first, nor will she be the last woman athlete to have a baby and return to playing tennis. I mean, they're not injured. They're having a baby, right? Yeah. I just don't even understand why it's taken this long.
And also, part of the point of seeding players is you distribute them through the draw, right? It makes for a better tournament. So you don't have people randomly, like the number one player playing the number two player in the first round. You know,
exactly.
They sort of distribute them through the draw. And just so we were thinking about this, Julie, you had raised this as an issue. And the other night, I'm going to tell you about the birthday party that I was at. But the friend whose party it was a birthday party for my friend who spent her entire career at CBS Sports. So there were a lot of sports people there. And coming back from the party, I actually got a ride with Mary Carrillo, who does the U.S. Open for CBS.
Of course you did.
So we started talking about this, though, Julie, because she loves Serena. And she just thinks Serena's going to come all the way back, have no doubt. Serena is going to be, if anyone can do this, Serena can. And she said, by the way, the other players in the draw, they don't want to bump into Serena in the first or second round. How would you feel if you were one of the top ranked players in the world and in your first round match, you get Serena Williams? That is, it's not good for the public. It's not good for the players. It's not good for the tournament. So anyway, so that's a little insight from the, you know, the backseat of the car coming back the other night.
And so it makes sense to have, you know, to have a maternity policy. I just, it's so surprising that that this is the first time that it's ever come up.
Right, because it really it's a relatively ridiculous. Small organization that is made up entirely of women.
Yes.
So, it, you know, and there have been a couple of other tournament winners who have had kids and had to go through the qualifying. It's crazy that they couldn't have just said, oh, yeah, this doesn't make any sense.
Right, you get to make up your own
rules.
We're
200 women. We're run by women. This seems fair. That's the craze. So it's just like you imagine trying the rest of corporate America. Like if the WTA can't even, or the USTA, whatever, it's the WTA, if they can't even figure it out and takes them 10 years, it's nuts. So I'm happy that Serena's getting that. And I have no doubt she will be back and other players, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are lots of other players in different sports. So, okay, Julie, good pregnancy pod. Now I have the magazine roundup. So,
okay.
I know we want to get to Liz Dolan Private Eye, but I'm out there reading magazines for you from this month's Health Magazine. Liz, I saw this and I thought of you. The headline, of course, is Work Out With Your Pup. Excellent ways to get fit with your furry friend this summer. Okay?
Okay.
There are all kinds of excellent things. I can't imagine Hooper doing the stand-up paddleboard with you, but maybe that's his thing.
No.
But here's something I saw caught my eye. Like Fitbit, but for your dogs. Do you know now there is an activity tracker called Fitbark?
Okay? It's a funny name.
This is true. Monitors your pet's activities, and you can sync it with your own Fitbit. Now, at first I thought this is ridiculous because I have the unpopular opinion that dogs are not people. So I don't like dogs wearing clothes or having birthday parties or going to the spa. Like, so I was thinking, why do dogs need a fitness tracker? But then, Liz, I thought about your Operation Sea Turtle thing because it says here in the health article, don't be surprised if your dog becomes your biggest motivator because you can line it up and track your fitness activity with your dogs and you'll get competitive. And imagine if you wanted to match Hooper's steps.
Yeah.
He has the world's shortest legs.
He's got these tiny stubby legs.
He must take 100 steps to your one. Liz, you could be walking all night just trying to catch up with Hooper. So I don't want you to put Hooper in a dress or give him a birthday party, but you might want to get
a step counter,
a fit bark.
Okay. Yeah,
it's a doggable, Liz. It's a doggable. There you go. Thought of you. All right, from this month's Coastal Living. Just look at the cover of this magazine, Liz.
Oh, that's
you want to
so
live
relaxing.
There, right?
Yeah.
I don't live on the coast either, Julie. That doesn't mean I can't enjoy the thought of coastal living. Secrets of Summer. This issue is a fantastic issue. I just want to shout out, if you haven't picked it up, they have a whole list on seafood dives and drives, like great seafood all over the country by category. You want to get this, some great ice cream sundae recommendations, good recipes. But this is what I was interested in. Tasty gin and tonics. tasty gin and tonics.
Aren't they all tasty? Some are more tasty than others.
Liz, I don't think I've had a gin and tonic in 25 years.
Oh.
And this is my dilemma. I have some high value house guests coming in shortly.
Yes.
You know,
house guests.
Yeah, not just your run of the mill house guests, but house guests that are going to expect some tasty gin and tonics. And I really don't even know how to make a drink. Like, we don't really have gin and tonics or gin and anything or vodka and anything. Like,
this could be your summer.
This is it. I was starting to panic, like, I wouldn't even know what kind of gin to buy. I should maybe start testing things because I want to be able to say, oh, look what I
have. I don't
think
you should take up testing gin. just as your sister.
But here, six recipes for tasty gin and tonic. They're shaking up the iconic drink, Liz. They're shaking it up. Here.
What are the twists on gin and tonic?
You know, add a little rose water. Here's the Mediterranean G&T that has a touch of
olive oil.
Orange bitters.
No, I'm sorry. It has what in it?
Orange bitters.
Oh,
which
nice.
That tastes pretty good. That sounds pretty good. All right. Here's one that has like a bittersweet gin and tonic that you have a little liqueur in it. an herbal one. Look, you have your little your cucumber.
Oh, the cucumber. Yeah, that is
glass.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good.
That just
like
looks so cool. Yeah.
I know, right? I'm gonna work on this for my high value. I have 3 okay. weeks before they arrive. I'm ready to go. I'm gonna be ready.
Maybe Woo-hoo. You can test on some of your low value guests.
Yeah. Maybe you can come over before. Yeah. Okay. And then lastly from O Magazine. Okay, this is the whole issue. What would make you happy? You know what? Because people aren't talking about happiness enough. That's a fresh topic. And O Magazine, I don't know if you know, but it's basically become the Elizabeth Gilbert magazine.
That's fine.
Have you noticed that? Like either they're interviewing Elizabeth Gilbert or they're reviewing Elizabeth Gilbert's uh-huh. book, or she's done a soul series. I don't know why they just don't name it E Magazine, but okay. But I like Elizabeth Gilbert. And this was her tip for happiness. And it just, I thought was a good reminder for the summertime. Become the thing. She reveals the source of true joy, sinking fully into what makes you, you. Obligations be damned. And there's a lot to that. Like, mm-hmm. I thought about that this weekend at the music festival. Mm-hmm. Like, I just love music. I love, like, dancing. And this makes me happy. So I should stop moaning about the people talking during the sets yes. and just enjoy
be
the
happy.
Music. So she recommends just complete and total absorption in your activity. And she talks about it in terms of reading has always been her first love, and she's never going to feel guilty about it. And sometimes if she wants to spend the day reading, that's what makes Elizabeth Gilbert Elizabeth Gilbert, and she's going to do it. But I thought about, Julie, when you went to the Australian Open, and you said, like, yep. we were fully into it, like 3 days, tennis, morning, noon, and night. And it was yep. fantastic, right? You didn't.
Right.
I mean, it's not changing anybody's life, the Australian Open,
no.
but for 3 days, you were fully right. absorbed in that activity. So
I like that.
I just wanted to pass that along as people are going off on their summer vacations. Or
I have to think of what that will be for me this
summer. Yeah, because, you know, mindfulness, that's one thing. That's but like absorption in an activity you love. Oh,
yes.
Okay. That's kind of a fresh idea.
Yeah.
So well done, Elizabeth.
Thank
Gilbert.
You. That's good, Liam.
Thank you,
that's
E
inspiring.
Magazine.
Yes. Thank you.
From E, I mean O Magazine. All right. My magazine roundup.
Liz, summer is coming up. And you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
for
chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's I mean, great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, you know, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because yeah. it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Hey, it's Liz and Leon here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz, my hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leon, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Lee and Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Lian's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Lian and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
Okay, I just want to give you a quick recap of where we are in the saga of Liz Dolan Private Eye. Okay? This mystery is too complex for me to give you like all of the steps in the investigation so far. But here's where we are. We have a mystery on our hands here at Satellite Sisters HQ. It's either a giant fraud or a giant windfall, right? So one of those would be bad and one of those would be good. So last week we received a long lost letter. Lian, somehow you got it,
yes,
right? And it was a letter from American Express saying they owed us a lot of money. But it said we had to file for this money by a date that had long since passed.
Right.
Because the letter was addressed to an address of the accountant we no longer use, and it had an incorrect version of our company name on it. Anyway, it was just out and about, like wandering the earth, and finally got to us too late.
But it was sort of a surprising amount of money.
Yes.
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 Like you would sit up and take notice.
Yeah, thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Yeah, so you wouldn't pass up the opportunity, right?
Right. So I thought, okay, there's an email address here. I'm going to email them and say, I missed the deadline. Do I still respond to you? Like, what do I do now? And so that's what I did. And I got a super helpful, but also super casual email back from the person that was allegedly American Express. Like, hey, Liz, how you doing today? Kind of casual. So that was a automatic red flag. That's
right.
Like, this must be fake. This is not... Why would American Express be calling me Liz when my full name is Elizabeth? Right, there's that. Then there's just the speed with which they responded and the casualness. So then Lian, you and I were sitting here last week. Now we're examining the letter.
Yeah.
Now I'm super suspicious.
Right.
And we're asking questions, Julie, like, well, if American Express owes us money, why don't they just credit us? Why do we have to jump through these hoops? So then I called the Amex number on my card. Right. I was like, this could be a fake letter. So, and Lian, you were here when I
was
did
here.
This. Customer service. I think we'll call her Kelly. That might have been her name. I don't remember. And I'm talking to Kelly. I explain the letter. And she's like, And she's like, yeah, that is a scam. We do not have an unclaimed property department. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. I'm really glad I asked, because here's the email address they gave me. And then I hear this click, click, click. And all of a sudden, Kelly was like, Oh, wait a minute. Oh, this might be us. Oh, I think this is us. Wow, I really learned something here today. I guess we do have an unclaimed property department. And you know what? When your customer service person says that, that does not inspire confidence. I learned something here today. So that was not good. So even though she said, go for it, it's real, I did not believe her, even though she was on the, because they can spoof your email address. So then I emailed our new accountant, you know, longtime Satellite Sisters listener, Diane. 6 hours later, got an email back which I loved. I laughed out loud. Diane's email back said, "What's in here?" And she had done a lot of investigation into the scam. Her feeling was this particular scam was not posted anywhere. It might be real. What I was supposed to do was get the letter notarized and sent it back in. Anyway, like I emailed the person who emailed me, emailed that person back, have not heard back. So here's where this stands right now.
Okay.
I mailed off the notarized letter.
Yeah.
Because I thought, what harm could there be? They didn't ask me for any personal information yet. I think what's going to happen is I'm going to hear back and they're going to ask for like bank information or something, right? If it's a scam, they'll ask me for more information. But if it's not a scam, we might get a check.
Send you a check.
So here's where we are.
Then we're going to have a party and we're really going to enjoy, have some summer fun.
Giant fraud or giant windfall. We have no idea. No idea. I will alert you when this all continues to unfold.
Okay.
There you have it.
Well, if anyone else has had this happen, though, and you have any helpful information.
Like an actual letter from American Express.
They were going to send it to the state collection.
Apparently, the state of California has a law. And
they
have to turn over the funds to the state of California. So this is the last step they take before they do that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who can you believe?
Who can you believe, Liz?
Nobody.
You don't know.
Except for Watson. Yeah. I believe Watson.
Liz Dolan and Watson are on it. All right. Keep us posted, Liz.
Okay.
Keep us posted. All right. We're going to get to Entertaining Sisters and a few more things. But first, we want to thank a couple of sponsors. It's like Brooklyn, but with linen. Get it? Get it, Satellite Sisterhood. Brooklinen.com, promo code sisters.
Okay. And we'll put, we have all those links in the show notes, too. So, Julie, it's time for Entertaining Sisters.
Oh, I have a great movie recommendation for you all this week. I would say run, don't walk to go see the documentary about Fred Rogers, which is called Won't You Be My Neighbor. I think you've heard about this, you know, Fred Rogers of the TV show, children's TV show. And this is the most inspiring documentary. I was afraid when I went to see it that it was going to be like an hour and a half of the Mr. Rogers show.
Yeah,
it's not that. It is a very well done documentary about this very singular human being. That's the only way I can describe it. I mean, when you consider, first of all, he was a trained Presbyterian minister and he had extensive early childhood development education and his extraordinary focus on young children and television and what should be, communicated via that medium to young children. It's just amazing to see. I'm going to call this a tonic for our time, sisters. That's what I'm going to say, because there was so much in the movie that I wish I had a pen and paper to write down some of the things that Fred Rogers said and how he said it. So it's very inspiring. It's well worth seeing. And I think it's, particularly at this time and place, you're all going to enjoy it. That's what I have
tonic
to say.
Tonic for our time.
A tonic
so
for our
blurbable.
Time.
Yes. Yes. That is great. You know what? I saw the trailer and I got so choked up even watching the trailer, Julie, that I thought maybe the movie will make me too sad for a time gone by. It won't do that.
No, I think you'll be inspired. You'll come out really just feeling a little more centered, a little more moderated. it's so well done. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I need a little modulation.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to my social notes. On last week's show, I mentioned that I was going to a good friend's big birthday bash over the weekend. I went. It was a party at Lakeside in Westchester County. So super fun. There were all of these tragic weather forecasts about like thunder, lightning, rain. None of that happened.
Oh, good.
Very, very fun. And so my friend Suzanne, whose birthday it was, we all know each other from being in the sports business. I was at Nike back in the day, but she was at CBS Sports, as I mentioned. And a lot of the people there are all people that, like, we met because we were all in different versions of the sports business, television networks or sponsors or leagues or things. So it was funny, as you walked in, this is kind of a sports thing. She had made credentials for each of us.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
So, and on that's each cute. Credential, she had a picture of either us together, like she and the person whose name it was, or some moment where she was there with you, where she had a picture of you there. So that was really fun.
Ooh,
wow, nice. That's great.
That's some work.
Yes, there was some production design that went into this thing, then she had given very, very strong direction that there was to be no video. Okay. Like, nobody gets to make this oppy video about my life. I don't want to see any pictures of me as a baby. But, you know, two-thirds of the people at the party.
You have to overrule her.
Yeah, you have to overrule that, especially when almost everybody at the party works in the television business, Julie. So this is what they do all day, every day, is produce video profiles of people. So, of course, they produced a video profile, which was very fun. And we all got to contribute to that. And I got comic direction. They had told me, because people had some serious stories and things, that I should just try to make up the most outlandish story I possibly could of something that she did for me, and they would cut that through. And I think it kind of worked. I feel like I held
up. You delivered?
Yeah.
Good.
But there was some good comedy in there, including, shout out to Jim Nance. You know Jim Nance from CBS Sports? He did a whole salute to her as if he thought he was supposed to be saluting Stan Smith, not Suzanne Smith. So, you know, that was funny, Jim.
That's funny.
Very funny. Anyway, but the real point of the party is that, like, this group of friends, we had all gotten to know each other, like, in our 30s. And Suzanne was really the glue to the group. And she would organize, like, girls' night out drinks. Like, every 3 months or 6 months, we would all get together in New York. And sometimes...
I've been to one of those girls' night out parties with you, Liz. It was fun.
I remember, one time, because that's the time Robert Roberts was part of this group, because she was at ESPN back in the day. And remember, they were filming a profile of her at the party that night, Julie. Anyway.
I know. You're just, your life was
beyond very meta.
Me.
Very meta.
You don't just go out with your famous friends. They're also filming your famous friends. Okay, carry on.
Anyway, but here's the thing about girls' nights out, or whatever you call it with your friends, is you have these conversations that are meaningful years later. And that's why we have always said on Satellite Sisters, not every conversation will change your life, but any conversation can. And here's what happened to me twice on Saturday Night Sisters. Two different women came up and thanked me for advice I had given them more than 10 years ago.
Wow. You know?
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yes. My friend Maggie came up. She said, I just need to thank you for, like, we had this conversation at Girls Night Out like 10 years ago. My boss was making me miserable. And you told me I did not need to put up with that, that I should just, like, get myself organized and get out of there. And it took me a while, but I've gone off. I started my own business. It's a small number of partners. We love each other. And I think back to that conversation all the time as a real turning point. Yeah, I don't have to take this. There's no law that says I have to work for a jerk. So... I didn't even remember having that conversation.
I was going to ask that.
I was just going to ask you that, if you had remembered the conversation.
But those are the conversations we have with each other all the time when you're with your friends, and you just have no idea the impact it would have on you or on them. And then another woman, Terry, came up and said it was a version of the same thing. She was at the NBA at the time, working at the NBA, and she said she thought she could never really leave the league and do her own thing. And I was like, yeah, you can. Yeah, you could totally do that.
Who needs the NBA?
Yes. I think I had recently left Nike, so I must have been trying to talk everyone into leaving their jobs. Anyway, she has her own business now, digital content platforms, whatever that is. But she made a point of saying to me, coming over and saying, like, that conversation we had really gave me a whole new way of thinking about my own life. So that's why we do what we do. Just friends, I mean. I don't just mean Satellite Sisters.
Right.
I mean, that's what we do for our friends, and that's what our friends do for us. So it was a super satisfying evening anyway, but it made it especially fun to hear that from two different women about conversations I did not recall.
Fantastic, Liz. Well, that's why you have a work advice podcast called Safe for Work, right?
Apparently, yes.
Yes, right. If you haven't listened to that yet and you want more Liz Dolanisms, you want her to change your life, Safe for Work. I mean, she does it every week on this show, but
I try not to, but apparently I can't help myself. Okay, one story I want to mention, but I'm just going to put a link in the Facebook group. Last week I talked about the scooters and that I had test driven a scooter. I have a hilarious news story about the scooter backlash that I'll post in the Facebook group.
Great.
With some funny photos along with this. Apparently, I'm not the only one that is feeling the scooter scourge.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that. And for those of you who noted that you didn't realize that they were stand-up scooters, that there, you thought you imagined me sitting on a scooter. Yeah, no, you're standing up basically on a skateboard. So I'll just leave it at that. You'll be able to see from the pictures that that's what that was all about.
Yeah, I don't mean to rush you, but we're running out of time and I need to get to Julie's to-do list, her mysterious to-do list. So I want to leave enough time for that. First, we want to thank, we want to remind you that next week is our Beach Bag Book Special.
Very excited about that.
So for the 4th of July, that's going to be your Satellite Sister show. We're talking to author Jenna Blum of The Lost Family. That's our Satellite Sister summer read. We also have recommendations for audiobooks, fiction and nonfiction, and we'll be posting our whole list at satellitesisters.com next week. That's a 4th of July special. We want to thank Wondery for their support and our wonderful engineer, Sergio Enriquez, for working OT today. We appreciate that. Let's see. We'd like to thank our sponsors. We would like to thank MeUndies. So happy to have MeUndies on board. Brooke Linen. Thank you, Brooke Linen.
Framebridge.
Lothies.
Framebridge. Loved that. And Nectar.
And Nectar. Thank you, Liz. Thank you. I have a lot of papers here. Again, I just want to know what Julie's doing on this to-do list. So, Julie, let's just go right to your to-do list.
Okay. What's happening? Just telling you, I wrote two words on my the notes, Leanne. Mount Kilimanjaro. That's what I put out there. Because one of my friends wants to climb Mount Kilimanjaro to mark a big birthday in her life. And she was talking to me about it. So I am considering it. And I want the Satellite Sisterhood to help me consider it. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. I know several members of our listener group have already done it. I'm a little worried
Kathy
about
Kathy Douglas is one that comes to mind. She kept us like informed of her training program and her success on Kilimanjaro.
Mary's done it. Mary.
So, and I wasn't going to invite you, Leanne, because I know you hate hiking.
Yeah.
But Liz, I'm coming out to LA and we're going to talk about Mount Kilimanjaro.
Haven't you? You've been near Mount Kilimanjaro.
I've been to Tanzania. Yes. Right. I've been at the base of Mount Kilimanjaro, which.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I have flown
Liz.
Over Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, Corny has done it too.
I have reached out to our former executive producer, Corny Cole, about this. So, I just need more information to make my decision.
When is your friend going? Does she have a date picked out?
Not yet. No, maybe in the next winter. Yeah. So there would be time to train. Yeah.
Is this the same friend who talked you into Machu Picchu?
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
All right. Well, I thought you were going to commit, but it's still interesting even to consider.
Fact finding.
Yeah, good.
I just said it out loud. It's pretty good.
Yes.
And I won't talk. Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah. No, okay. I think that's a good idea. I was concerned that you had committed to Mount Kilimanjaro without the right amount of fact finding. Got it. All right, Liz, you got anything on your to-do list?
Leanne, this week I'm going to make an appointment for my annual physical. I'm just debating. Do I make it like right now so my whole summer is healthier post-physical? Or do I make it for September so I'm building up to the physical? You know what I mean?
Someday we got to have a medical psychologist on, a psychologist of medicine, whatever. We have to have someone dissect like, what is our issue with annual physicals? Like, why do we do this to ourselves?
Uh-huh.
Someday we'll have that on. All right. And I just
have. And how about you?
World Cup. I'm into it now. The knockout rounds are about to happen. You know, my team, I called it beforehand, Mexico. I was rooting for Mexico, our neighbors to the south.
Yes.
So I'm.
I don't know where they're hosting all those fans in Russia because there's no hotels. And I don't know what the Mexicans are eating when they're in Russia. I can't figure that out either.
What I like is the coverage is that they're not doing almost any local color because my assumption is there is none. You know, they keep showing like one shot of Red Square and like nothing about the host country, which I'm cool with. But I'm excited that the knockout rounds are starting pretty soon. But
we
got to get my team through to the knockout rounds. Mexico. So that's it.
Okay, we are good.
We're good to go here. What a full show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We always appreciate your support at Satellite Sisters. Anything you need from the show, we have lots of show links this week. All those articles we mentioned and things. Liz does a complete write-up at satellitesisters.com. We encourage you to go there if you're looking for anything. That's the place to start, people.
Yes.
That's the place to start. And don't forget, call your Satellite Sisters.